Hi, my name is Jenny Justice Neumeyer, and you are listening to Life Behind the Scene Adulting Tuesday Talks, where our resident millennial, Rosie Martinez, and I discuss topics to help young adults maneuver career and life. We are currently walking through the book, The 48 Laws of Power, by Robert Greene, and discussing how those laws are applicable in 2020, and tips on how to apply them to your life. So, welcome. And thank you for listening today. Let's get this party started. Hi, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Rosie.
And we're here today with another Adulting Tuesday talk. And we have our special guest, Scott Neumeyer and Trina Silva. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about critical thinking and common sense. So, it's a gap. It's a soft skills gap that has been expressed for probably the last 2-3 years from young adults entering the workforce, coming out of college, but also even straight out of high school going into the workforce. So, kind of wanted to talk through common sense and critical thinking and see if there's any tips that we could, why we think there's this gap. Is it starting in school? Is it a nurture versus nature thing? What are y'all's thoughts?
Well, the first thing I say is jumbo shrimp, because jumbo shrimp makes no sense. Jumbo shrimp. Common sense. It is not common. I think that's the...
We're all confused right now. Jumbo shrimp sounds pretty good.
But I think that that's the, you know, it's common sense, but it's not common. So it's very uncommon. So I think that, so when people say, well, it's a skill that we're missing, you can go back in history. It's always been the same. You know, common sense, common sense, common sense. But it's because it's not. It's something that usually you learn through life, you know, of things. So when you're coming out, you know, young and all that, I mean, those are things that you probably didn't spend a lot of time of. You know, Rosie, you're pretty fresh out of school. I mean, can you think of any courses that you took that were critical thinking? Then, you know, I know when I was in college, we had 3 hours of logic. That was about the most critical thinking that we...
From the face she's making, I'm thinking that there was no logic in her...
Is that like philosophy? Like, is that a philosophy course? Logic?
No, logic? It's logic. It's actually a subject.
Oh,
yes.
We don't have logic.
Oh, but y'all do have logic. I can assure you.
Session is over. We don't have logic in Houston. This is a Baylor thing.
I think that's a rapper, though. Logic.
Right? Do you know?
I know that logic.
All right.
Logic is just about taking things and making sense out of them, or making or understanding that they don't make sense. The same thing as common sense or critical thinking. It's, you know, so I think that, and I guess that maybe that's part of why we have all the issues with Facebook and all this, you know, fake news and all that, because people aren't necessarily able to figure out what's right, wrong, you know, because they don't think. They don't maybe ask the questions that they should.
So, critical thinking. We'll kind of step back into that. So, I agree with you. It is just like thinking through something. But with Google as a resource today, you really don't have to think through much. Shouldn't have to think through much. So, Rosie, from your generation, it seems that your generation, even though grew up with the internet and everything, doesn't use Google as a go-to resource.
Right.
Why? Well, you speak for your entire generation in this moment.
No pressure.
Do you use Google as a resource?
I do. I mean, for things that I don't know that I'm curious about, I'll just Google it and kind of find out or read a little bit about it. But I think that part of it is just being lazy. I think that, I mean, you have the whole world in your hands with your phone and your laptop. So not knowing, I don't know, if you hear something in the news and you don't know what they're talking about, you can easily look it up on your phone and you'll find out what it is, what that word is, you know, things like that. So I think a lot of it is just being lazy. And I say this because I've seen friends do this where they're just like, oh, I don't know. But they can sure text back really fast, but they can't go to Google and Google whatever it is that they're looking for. And I think this goes back to the lack of having soft skills because you're so behind the screen and so into, you know, just texting and making sure you text back and texting all these people at the same time and tweeting or being on Facebook that you just forget about communicating with someone that's right in front of you and being able to connect with the person right beside you. You know? So yeah, I think for sure it's definitely part of just being lazy and not wanting to
actually go phone. The next step right. to find information.
Out. I think the problem with that is, though, and that I think that's a wrong idea that you can Google critical thinking or you can Google common sense. What? Because you can't.
Not Google critical thinking and common sense, but if you're looking for how to do something simplistic, I'm not talking about solutioning world peace.
Right, but we're talking about critical thinking, which in its deal is more in-depth than just thinking. But I think it's the difference. It's between, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? You can get all the knowledge you want on Google. But there's no wisdom there. Wisdom is how you use the knowledge,
yeah.
Right? And that is where the critical thinking comes in. And I do think that's the part that we miss because we think that knowledge is wisdom. You know, so we can get all the knowledge that we want anytime we can get it. But it doesn't mean that we know how to use it. Or the fact that it may not even be right. I mean, we just, you know, we have a kind of a laughing thing. Well, if it's on the internet, it's the truth. Right? But I mean,
I did that commercial. It was awesome. I love it. I still love it to this day.
Yeah.
But so if that's the stuff that you're getting and you can't look at it critically and say, hold on, who's the author? Who's saying this, right? I mean, our news, we get our news by the view that we want, mm-hmm. not by the news that we want, right? Because we know that that person is going to put the spin on it that we like to hear. But we accept that. So how can you have critical thinking when that's what you're getting?
Well, when I say critical thinking, it's more like problem solving tasks. Yes. At work. And one of the things that, and you know, and I say it jokingly with the chamber team that I work with, you know, I'm like, well, if you don't know, Google it, you know, and it's like, Google it. If you're looking for template, Google it. Like, there's a million templates out there. And one of the things I was tasked at in one of my previous jobs was to create a change management process for the project I was working on. I had never before that date ever had created a change management process. So I went online and found a complete change management process from a Fortune 500 company, for some reason is out there on the internet, went through, pared it down to what fit our organization. So when I say utilizing critical thinking, going that extra step, it's like utilizing the knowledge, like you were saying, Scott, the knowledge is out there to get to help you achieve things and complete tasks in the workforce. And it's like that's a gap that's missing because in from just hearing in the workforce and the soft skills gap that's been a high conversation for the last couple of years is that this critical thinking process is not there. So I think it is both gaining the knowledge but then also having the wisdom to implement it. And but you can't even start at step one, which is where to find the information.
Right. But I mean, what you did was critical copying.
critical
copying. Noted. I'm writing that down. Fine. Critical copy, yes.
Critical plagiarism.
Yes. It was great.
Because the problem then is, if that doesn't exist or you can't find it, then you can't think it. You know, in other words, I think that the reason that gap exists now is because there's so much information that it overloads you. But then again, you mistake it for what really is wisdom or what really is thinking. You know, back when people actually had to read books and actually had to give a report on the book, they couldn't get on the internet and see what 10,000 people thought about this passage in a book, you know? And so they actually had to think about what it meant to them. And so that developed a lot of those critical thinking that just, it came naturally. You know, as you were going along in life. And so I think that that's part of it because, like I said, we, you know, now I do it too. I mean, I Google and, you know, reviews and everything else, but you're just getting somebody else's view.
Mm-hmm.
And you really, and then you either accept that view and that becomes yours, but it wasn't yours originally.
And they might be paid to do those reviews.
Absolutely, yes.
Which is scary.
That's right, yes.
Okay. So you work with student workers, Trina, and we've kind of talked about this in past conversations of just not having the critical thinking process to think, hey, what's next? Or how do I problem solve this? Or how do I do basic office tasks in your world? So where do you think that breakdown is?
I think I kind of agree with Rosie. I think it might be a little bit of laziness. Also, I think it's like a fear. Maybe it's a fear of doing the wrong thing, that they're so green that they're like, I don't want to do the wrong thing and make them upset by doing the wrong thing or waste my time by doing the wrong thing. So I'm just going to like keep asking questions. Or like, I know I personally procrastinate when I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do this task. Like, maybe it's because I hate doing it, or maybe I don't really know how to do it the best. So I just kind of push it off. And I think that that is an issue with younger people that I work with. It's like, I really need this, but they're so slow at it. Why are they so slow? Like, I need this now. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of laziness and maybe fear.
So what would be a recommendation to get over that? If to any of the young people listening that are like, well, I don't know how to do something, what would be something to say, hey, when you don't know how to do something,
Google it. That's the first thing I say, because that's the first thing I do.
Maybe that's like, not, to Scott's point, maybe it's not always the right thing.
I think a lot of times it's, sure, it is something that you could probably just Google. But I think a lot of times it's, like Trina said, it's because of fear that you don't know what to do, and your fear is to mess up and for someone to tell you something and, you know, ask you, why did you do this? You should have just asked me first. Maybe just the fear of hearing that. So instead they take that step and they ask instead for every little thing that they want to do, they ask you. And I think this is where the importance of having a mentor comes in, because a mentor is someone that you can go to with questions that it could be any question, from maybe the dumbest question that you think you could ask to just random questions that you have throughout, whether it's middle school, high school, college, or even in the workforce. These are questions and people that you can go to, and they'll answer based on, you know, their experience. And I guess talking from experience with me, I mean, I've had several mentors throughout my whole life, and I think they pretty much made me the person who I am today, because I've had several questions, whether it's, you know, how should I dress up to this interview? Or if they ask me this question, what should I say? How should I answer this? Or even just like, what are some of the questions that I'll get in an interview? This is the first time that I'm going to an interview. So just like things that we think are common sense are sometimes not common sense to students. So having that mentor and having someone that they can trust with questions like these, I think it's one of the most, you know, important things that students should know, that, you know, they should have someone that they can go to with these questions, and that's not necessarily their boss, but just someone, you know, for advice that's been in the workforce, that have, you know, they have experience and have gone through these, you know, steps in life, to just kind of go to and ask these questions.
Scott, you've done a lot of training in your life in different industries. When you get somebody young that's maybe not familiar with the industry or what is normally entailed in the job that they are now in, is there such thing as a dumb question? Are there some things that they should know? What do you think from a training perspective?
There are dumb questions. Absolutely. You know, people that say there's no dumb question, they got problems. Because for one thing, there's things that people should just know, hopefully, you know, like hot water is hot, you know, don't put your hand under scalding water. But also, you know, questions that you've already answered and they ask you again, you know, that's a dumb question. It's like you didn't learn it. And I really think what Rosie was saying, you know, is it's about learning. I mean, critical thinking, it's about learning. I mean, what did she say? You got to go to people that you trust for those answers, right? And if you go to people that you trust, then you know that you are getting good answers. The problem is that we're not, back in the day before the internet, you had to go to the books, right? And you felt comfortable looking at whether it was encyclopedias or certain authors because you knew about the author. You knew where they came from. You knew that they were reliable. So then you would read what they said and that you could do that. For some reason now we let people get up there that have absolutely nothing, no background or history to speak about the things that they speak about, and we accept that because either they're the loudest voice or they're somebody that we like for other reasons. And the one thing in logic, there's a lot of faulty logic, and the one part of faulty logic is it's kind of a celebrity thing. Just because somebody's a celebrity does not make them any better at anything than you, except what they did to become a celebrity, whether they're a singer, whether they're a runner, whatever they are, right? But that doesn't mean that they're good, they know anything about how to care for animals or how to care for people or anything, right? So the idea is that we have to learn, like Rosie said, from quality people that know, you know? And so that's the part where we probably, you know, the laziness comes in because we don't want to spend that extra amount of time to say, all right, I want to find this out. Now, who is telling me this? You know, can I trust it? Is it right? And to your sense, that is the critical part of it, right? And what is critical means we are critical of everything until we know that it's true. And we've got to have that critical aspect. And maybe we're just too accepting of things because it's easy to just accept what somebody says. We don't have to, and maybe that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think in work, it's the same thing. And, you know, like I said, you're nervous about it. You don't want to look like you're stupid. You don't want to look like you're not catching on. That's fine. But then you've got to find somebody that can help you with that.
And I know, and it's not just millennials. I mean, I've worked with
people. No, that
well into the retirement age. That's right. That is like, how did you even make it this far? Yes. There was one instance and where this lady was yelling at a copy machine because it was jammed. And yelling for somebody in the office to come and help her because they didn't know what to do. They didn't even try. It was not even. And if you've worked in an office in any amount of time, you know, you just start opening everything that opens, right? Like, you don't know. I mean, I'm not a copy machine technician.
You can blow in it like a Nintendo.
Yeah. Yes. And, but no one in the office is a copy technician. We're all going to go and do the exact same thing. Just try to figure it out. And this is not the first time. That was not the first office this happened in. It's, you know, it could be a coffee machine at another place. Although I have done that because I was lazy and I didn't feel like trying to figure it out. So I do think there is this element of laziness, but then what else could it be that it's like,
well, I mean, maybe before she did that, she did try to do it herself.
Yeah, maybe he was
jammed it up worse.
Yeah.
And you know, she lost her job or she got in trouble. I mean, it's like,
having a bad day. So, leave her alone.
So I think
how did you figure out it was you? I mean,
because I think that as leaders have to be very careful or they will knock all of the critical thinking out of their people because they second guess them. They don't give them any credit for trying to think outside the box, for trying to do something on their own. And they first just slap them real hard. Well, after enough slaps, then you're not going to do that anymore, and you're just going to kind of tote the line. So I think that, I think that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that, it's how do you open people up? You know, you have to be accepting because they're going to come up with different answers that you have.
True.
Different ideas, which sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always, when I train people, I always taught them this. I said, I want you to do it my way first because I want you to understand my way. Then once you know my way, then we can talk about other ways. Mm-hmm. But I don't even want to talk about it until you know
my
way.
We're on the same page, right?
I like that.
And so I think that's important that because then it gives them a reason to learn your way, and then they can explain it to you if they feel like there's a better way that way, mm-hmm. right?
Because they're starting from the same starting point.
Yes, right. Exactly. So I think that that's important. But I think a lot of times that you get beat down.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no win on this deal for you.
So I guess that goes to another point then, when leadership is frustrated with the lack of critical thinking, which is, and this again, is a workforce complaint. It crosses industries, it crosses company sizes, it crosses ages and demographics, and the conversation of the lack of critical thinking and the lack of common sense maybe is more towards leadership, or a combination of leadership point of view and and laziness from the workers.
I think what's, I'm trying to remember who said the quote, but it was said, I'm too old to know everything. In other words, you know, when we're younger, we think we know everything. Mm-hmm. So,
where? Well, I think you think you know everything.
No. So, you know, so I think that's always a part of it, you know, is that we come out and we think, you know, our parents, we knew everything, you know, our parents didn't know anything and all that, and we get into work and sometimes we have to do it. So I think that we have to, you know, kind of balance that with, you know, yeah, there are, you know, you are looking at things differently. But again, you've also got to find a culture that's accepting to that. And, you know, and I think that makes a big difference. Amazon, I forget, they had somebody, you know, that came up with this idea that was told, but made them millions. You know, I don't even remember what it was. But it was, you know, it was like their culture was open for that, uh-huh. You know, yeah. Of wanting to learn and to look at new things.
Some places do not want to learn or to try new things, which is terrible.
Yeah.
So.
like institutions of education.
That don't have logic conversations.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She says it logically. So, just going, starting from you, Trina, what would be a recommendation to give to a young adult who's coming out of college, entering the workforce, when it comes to critical thinking?
I say, first, you have to try to figure it out yourself. So, like, my pet peeve is, like, if you don't know something, don't come and ask me. First, like, go and try to figure it out. Like, I would Google it first. I don't know what people did without Google. Actually, I do know, because I did use an encyclopedia. Yeah, my parents still have, like, the whole entire set.
The They're Dewey really nice. Decimal System at the library. Yes.
I used Whoever to work in the library, actually. I know the Dewey Decimal System. But yeah, for sure, if you want to go and look in the card catalog or Google, I would recommend doing that. Or, you know, once you look there and you can't figure it out, you could ask your mentors. But if it's time sensitive, then go and ask your supervisor and be like, hey, I'm not really sure. I don't really understand what this is or what you are exactly wanting. Like, can you help me out here? And I think that they would really, they'd be understanding, and most of them, I think, would be understanding, and they would appreciate you trying to figure it out on your own and then coming to them later. Because I know, personally, I don't want to babysit somebody, and I don't want to have to keep repeating myself if I've already told you how to do it once. And the other thing that I have done myself and I always recommend is taking notes. If I'm going to tell you how to do something, you better have a notebook there and a pen, and you better be writing it down, because I don't want to have to come and tell you how to do it again, especially if you're doing it all the time. So what do you think?
Well, for me, I think Trina kind of took part of what I was going to say. And this is something that I always see when that's taking notes, because I know I easily forget some of the stuff that's mentioned to me, whether it's whenever, you know, I'm getting onboarded to a company and it's a new position, you know, doing your research. What, you know, what is it that you're doing? What is your position and what's your job? So just making sure that you're clear of what you're doing and keeping that goal kind of in the back of your head. And I think just taking notes and being organized is one of the biggest parts, because it's just so easy for you to get distracted or get unorganized whenever you have a lot of things going on. And I know there's times when you're on meetings or you're talking to someone and you're like, oh, I definitely will remember this, you know, I don't have to write it down. And it's happened to me a couple of times where you're like, you know, I don't write it down. And then 2 days later, I forget everything that I just talked to with a coworker or my boss. And, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to go back and ask, hey, I forgot what we were talking about or what I was supposed to do. Can you tell me? So just making sure you take notes and you stay organized, I would say.
So I think, especially in the workplace, critical thinking usually comes in when you have a problem. I mean, that's where it falls. You know, you've got this problem. So what happens with a lot of people, instead of looking at anything, they just complain, you know, we got a problem. But I think that if you take the attitude that if there's a problem, I'm going to come to you with a solution. And so I'm going to come with that. Even though my solution may not be right, I'm going to show you that I at least thought enough about the problem to say, hey, maybe there is something else to do. And you will learn from that more than anything because, yeah, they'll shoot you down about things because maybe you don't understand it. But you know what? You will get the respect of saying, hey, that person really is trying to look ahead, trying to help things here. And then all of a sudden that mentorship and that is going to be so much more to you because they know that you're thinking in the right way. So again, even if you're not necessarily a critical thinker or you don't think that you know how to do it, there's a lot of ways that will get you involved in it that I think that will carry you forward.
In what ways would those be?
Well, I said a lot of it is just, you know, is you'll find the help that you need. People will get you involved.
As you're reaching out. People will get you involved to help you walk through that process.
Yeah, because, you know, just like Trina said, there's so many people, it's like, I've told them 100 times. They don't even listen. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. That's not the person you're going to seek out when, you know, there's something that needs to be done or there's some training that needs to be given or that's not the person you're going to send. That's not the person you want to spend time with. You know, everybody's busy. And I think that, you know, and when you have somebody, if they're going to spend some time with you, they want to make sure it's effective. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that a lot of it is just showing that you want that you really do, you know, want it. And it's two-sided, but it's got to come from you first, you know.
That's true. For me, I would have to say my piece of advice would be don't be afraid to fail. They say that there's several ways to skin a cat. I've never skinned a cat, but supposedly there's several ways.
I have. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll talk about that later. Next profile is starting to get really scary.
Keep me out of this.
But, you know, if you can't, kind of to what Scott's point is, come to some solution, it may be wrong, you know, and especially the younger you are, the higher the chances of it being wrong, because you don't have the experience or the wisdom to have worked through this type of scenario multiple times. So it may be wrong, but that's how you learn, you know, I read one time that scientists don't see failed experiments as failed experiments. They see it as that they're one step closer to learning because now they know what not to do. And, or to achieving what their goal is because they've gotten better at their processes and their experiments. So don't be afraid to fail at anything. Not just in just thinking moments or problems at work.
Mm-hmm. Be honest. Always be honest, you know, even if you can't come up with something, say, hey, I have thought about this.
Yeah.
This is the problem that I see. I don't know, but I really know, laws of power, I really know that you can help me
yes.
find this answer.
Fluff.
Yes.
Rule number one, fluff the feathers of the people over you.
Fluff, that's not fluff. The rule.
Yeah, I don't think that's
it's the rule. Part of the rule.
The law,
it's part know. Of the law.
Yeah.
It's the fluff.
Fluff. Fluff the master.
It says that. Now you're going to make me break out the book again. I thought we put the book away. We keep going back to the book.
Because it is there. It will always be there.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think that is it for today. This has been a very riveting conversation. Thank you very much for the great conversation. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I love our discussions. I'd love to hear about you. Join our LinkedIn group for Adulting Tuesday Talks and keep this conversation going. Thank you for listening. This is Jenny signing off. Until next week.